Liliana Ramos has a routine that she follows every single day. Every day when I first wake up, she says, I thank God for giving me another day. I pray for my children, she says, and I look at the weather. I look at the weather here, and I look at the weather there. When the temperature in Bend, Oregon recently dipped below zero, she sent text messages to each of her children. She told Brian to put on a hat. She says he's 21, but she never stopped being a mom. She told Ashley to take care of herself, but she said she was most worried about Carlene, because you know how kids are. They're never cold, she says. They say, I'll just wear a sweatshirt. But she told her, bundle up so you don't get a cold. Ramos has seen her children just a handful of times since she was deported in September of 2011. She knows that parents of, say, college students in the U.S. may not see their children any more frequently, but she says that's different. I'm just here waiting for my kids to visit, she says. I can't go to them. Ramos received a deportation order in 2005 after her application for asylum was rejected. She ignored the order until immigration agents found her at work 6 years later. She was given 9 months to leave the country. During that time, she found a room to rent in Tijuana through a contact at church. She got passports for her children so they could visit her, and she gave custody of her two youngest to her mother. As she carpooled to the border later that year, Ramos says her sense of loss overwhelmed her. She says the other driver drove the whole way because she just wanted to sleep. She says there's a sadness when you leave something behind. That sadness is evident even at this joyous-sounding Christmas celebration. Families split by deportation press up against either side of the border fence. They sing to each other through thick iron mesh. Some chat quietly, others cry. Mari Galvan is here today. She's a social worker at a shelter in Tijuana that takes in deported women. She says the majority of the women arrive suffering emotional shock because they've just been separated from their children. They don't know what will happen or when they'll see their children again. Galvan says many of the women lose their children to state custody in the U.S. when they're deported. Others have time to find a relative or a friend to care for them. These are mothers who can't sleep at night, she says, because they don't know if the relative is treating their kids well or if the friend bathed their kids before putting them to bed. She says they feel totally powerless, knowing that no matter how much they love their children, they can't return to where their kids are. These are the feelings that enveloped Ramos when she arrived. She suffered from anxiety and depression. She developed intestinal problems, which persist today. Ramos says her faith in God got her through, but it may also be her resilience and her savvy. She landed an accounting job at a fruit and vegetable distributor, despite never having gone to high school, and despite being 39 years old.
Cuando ya tienes aquí más de 35 años.
If you're older than 35, Ramos explains, it's really hard to get hired in Mexico. It's also hard to find a place to live that's safe and affordable, but Ramos convinced a landlord to rent her a small home in a secure neighborhood for half the going rate. Ramos says she counts her blessings. She knows she's the exception among deportees, not the rule. Twice a month, Ramos drives her old Jeep with expired Oregon plates off the main road and into a cement canal. It's just south of the U.S.-Mexico border. On this Sunday morning, she and two of her children visiting from Oregon join about a dozen Christian volunteers in feeding hundreds of homeless people, the majority of whom were also deported.
Buenos días, ¿su nombre?
Javier Richard.
¿De dónde es?
Puebla.
Puebla, mi paisano.
As volunteers pass out steaming styrofoam cups of pozole, Ramos carries a clipboard through the five long lines of men. She wears a stylish black pea coat over skinny jeans. She has a crocheted black headband in her hair and aviator sunglasses.
¿Fuiste deportado? ¿Hace qué tiempo?
Apenas
3 meses. ¿4 meses? ¿Dejaste tu familia ya?
Ramos asks everyone their name, their age, and where they're from. She asks if they've been deported, how long ago, do they have children in the U.S., and are they in touch with their families? If she has any credit on her phone, she may let them use it to call relatives in the U.S. If they plan to cross the border again, Ramos warns them of the danger. She says she tells them to try to make a life here in Tijuana. She tells them she was also deported and has kids in the U.S. They're surprised, she says. She thinks it has a strong impact on them because she's a woman and she's alone. Back at home on this Sunday afternoon, though, Ramos is not alone. Her son Brian is upstairs in the guest bedroom, and her daughter Carlene is watching TV. Ramos says visits from her children give her strength. It gives her hope that one day they'll be together, she says. Even if it's not like before, she says, because her kids are already grown up, but at least they'll be close to each other. Jordana Gustafson, reporting.